Good morning. Welcome to worship at Wallingford Presbyterian Church. I'd like to invite you to sign the black friendship pew pads that you have in your pews so that we can get to know each other better. I'd also like to begin with a welcome that actually comes from a hymn. I thought it was one of the most welcoming hymns that I know, and I thought it would be a nice way to open. It's from a hymn called Let Us Build a House. Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. A place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Here the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Amen. And now let us, in this time, share the peace that we have from God with one another. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Generous God, you give us what we need and satisfy our desires in due season. Grant that our inner beings may be strengthened through your Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you may accomplish within us far more than we ask or imagine. Be with us as we worship, and may our praise be pleasing in your sight. Amen.
Please stand in body or in spirit for the call to worship. Your creation gives thanks to you, O God.
And we, your faithful blessing.
We shall speak of the glory of your realm and tell of your power.
We shall let all people know your mighty deeds and glorious splendor.
Let us worship God.
Standing because today is Favorite Hymn Sunday. So I will be, if everyone's getting their favorite hymns ready. Right now I'm choosing three hymns from this side and later this.
But first, we're going to
be doing three hymns, one verse each from this side. I think I saw Roger's hand. Yes.
39.
Hymn 39, verse 1. That was one of my favorites. Rhoda? Yes.
69.
Hymn 69, verse 1.
69.
Thank you.
And one more from this side. Yes, I see in the back. 193, verse 1. Friends, you may be seated. And now is the time for young disciples, so I invite any children to come forward now. Hi, Lauren. I'm with you. We could just have a talk. Unless anybody else wants to come up, but for now you can also hear us from here if you're too shy. That's fine too. So, and I'll kind of just speak to all of us as well, because it's a pretty exciting lesson for today. So today we're talking about this amazing story of the loaves and the fishes. Have you ever heard of that story before? No? Hi, ladies. Have you ever heard of the story, the loaves and the fishes? Ever heard of a story where Jesus multiplies this food for thousands of people? No, not quite? All right. Welcome. So today, this story is an amazing miracle story. So what happens is that there's a big group of people that follow Jesus. They're following him. They're maybe from out of town. There's thousands of people. Can you imagine? What does thousands of people look like? Have you ever seen thousands of people? Yeah, just looks like one big group, right? You almost can't even tell faces. So many, maybe you've been in a baseball stadium or something like that. Just tons and tons of people. Imagine them all standing on a hillside. And two of Jesus' disciples, are getting concerned because what are they going to have to eat? They've been following Jesus and they're getting hungry. So Jesus turns to them and says, how are we going to feed all these people? And one of his disciples, Philip, says, even a half of a year's wages, that's a lot of money, right? If you work for a whole year, half of that year's wages, couldn't even give everybody a little nibble, as if we went around right now and gave everyone a little nibble. We couldn't even afford that. And then his other disciple said to him, well, here's this boy, and that's going to be important in a minute. He sees this little boy, kind of like you guys, you're just little, right? He sees a little boy, and he has just a few loaves and a bread and a few fishes. And he says, oh, come here. And he brings him to Jesus, and Jesus says, basically he says to Jesus that here's a boy with some loaves and fishes, but what are these among so many people, right? I mean, if I brought a loaf right here, even with our congregation, do you think everybody could get a bite? Yeah. No, right? Maybe you have maybe it's our parents or something like that, but not everybody. So that's what they were so frustrated and scared. How are we going to feed all these people? But then Jesus takes the loaf and just the few fishes from the boy, and he gets up and he starts to feed everyone with it, and he keeps going and going, and somehow there's more fish and more bread, and it just keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And everybody eats, and everybody's full, which is amazing. Because remember, we just said they probably wouldn't even be able to get one little nibble. But suddenly, everyone's full, and there's leftovers. Wow. All right, so this brings us to this today. What do we got here? What are these things? Containers? Yeah, what do you usually put in these things? Food, yeah? But usually, not just any food, but usually leftovers, right? We cook, and then we have some things left over. We either maybe give it to a friend or a family member, or we eat it ourselves. And so today, what's important about the story is that not only did Jesus feed everyone, but he fed them to abundance. It was such a miracle that he cares for all of his followers and disciples so much that he made this miracle happen, that there's so much that there's even leftover baskets. That's pretty amazing, right? Yeah. So what we can remember is, even though you guys are little, and in a sense we're all little because we're only one person, each person, that remember like that little boy. Do you remember that little boy? What did he have in his basket again? Do you guys remember? Fish and bread. That's all he had. So maybe we only have a little bit. We don't have a lot to offer. And maybe we are little. But when we give it to Jesus, he can multiply it and make amazing things out of it. Right? He can do so much with it that there's even leftovers to give away. Right? And so we have to remember that as we think about what we have to give, or maybe how much love we have to give, or just really anything that we can do to serve one another, even though it might just be a little bit, when we give it to Jesus and we say, God, I'm going to do this for you, then suddenly God can do amazing things with it. Isn't that really great? Absolutely. All right, let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for how much you love us, that you would want to provide for us abundantly. We pray that you would teach us to give to you whatever we have to give and trust that you will multiply it and make it for good use for your kingdom. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you guys can go to Sunday school. Thank you.
Let us confess to our Lord, our God, for the Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Let us pray together the prayer of confession. God, you uphold those who are falling and raise up all who are bowed down. Therefore, we confess our sins, both the things we have done and the things we have left undone, in every confidence that you will open your hands to us in an embrace of forgiveness and love. Amen. Beloved, through the power of the Spirit that is at work within us, God forgives our sins and strengthens our inner beings. So now let us live, knowing the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge and fills us with the fullness of God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Holy God, may this your word give us the power to comprehend with all the saints the length and width, the height and depth of the love of Christ and the fullness of life in you. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. Hear now the word of the Lord. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing food from the first fruits to the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them. They ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord, the word of God. You've been spared. I've not been asked to sing the anthem. Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this as a test to him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to take him by force and make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not come to them. The sea became rough because of a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." They wanted to take him into the boat, And immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So there's a magnet on my mother-in-law's fridge that I always love. It says, "The way to a woman's heart is through the door of a good restaurant." Ladies, can I get an amen? I'm always into eating out, so that is so great. But I love this other quote that says something similar, but in a deeper sense. It says, "Food is the way to the heart, and more importantly, the soul. Keep feeding the souls of people." And I think there's some truth in that. I mean, they even call a variety of some cooking soul food, right? I'm sure we all can think back to a time when a meal that our mom or grandmother prepared for us really just hit the spot. And that comfort food really did feel like it went all the way down to the soul. Have you ever had a food like that, that really hit the spot and it was exactly what you needed when you needed it? Maybe a whiff in the air from a nearby restaurant will bring us back to that one dish that always had that feeling of home. In our story for this morning, there is a great crowd of 5,000 people who are in need of being fed. They were hungry because they had been following Jesus in order to see his signs and wonders. Jesus asks Philip, "How are they to feed all these people?" And the text is clear that this is a test, as Jesus has something up his sleeve, as he normally does. Philip, with almost an anxious and worrisome tone, replies, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to even get a little." Then another disciple, Andrew, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Then Jesus gives the mandate to tell the disciples to have the crowd sit down. And then Jesus blesses the bread, broke it, and gave it to all the people. Let's just stop for a moment and think about the notion of who is the primary actor here. Who is the initiator, and who is the active, and who is the passive? Because this is important. It is not the disciples who ask Jesus how to feed these people. It is Jesus who sees these people and sees past maybe their noisy and boisterous presence to their deeper need. It is Jesus who begins the whole process by giving the command that they all sit down as if to begin a meal together. He is the initiator here. It is not the disciples in this account, anyway, who take the food and actually feed the people with it. It is Jesus himself. It is the man. Now let's look at what the disciples did. We see Philip nervously trying to calculate in his head the math it would take to have even everyone get a tiny bite of food. He anxiously tries to search for the answer to this problem, looking to see how he can come up with an answer to such an impossible thing with such meager means. Rationing it out, he feebly comes up with an answer and places it at Jesus' feet, lamenting that they could never find the money to even give one full meal to this crowd. Then we see Andrew, similarly looking around, his eyes shrewdly searching the crowd for any hint of food resources until he sees a boy. Probably hurriedly calls him over and pulls him before Jesus and says, "There's the boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" He too grasps for any shred of a solution to this problem and takes it one step further into despair. For how could this do among so many people? Are we not tempted to do exactly what Philip and Andrew did in the face of our problems in life or in the problems of the world? I know I have so often tried to look for that rational solution, that logical answer, or that practical fix-all when it comes to problems that look hopeless. I too would frantically search, like the disciples, for a Band-Aid for the situation, only to come up short. only to look at my feeble means and sigh like Andrew. But what are they among so many people? But our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. Our knowledge is incomplete and our logic is frail and finite. But it is not so with the Lord. Here's a note about the theme of knowledge in the book of John, as stated by one commentator. He says, "We have so much knowledge now that knowledge is not power, but powerlessness. It gives us paralysis, not empowerment. In comparison, in the Gospel of John, knowledge is power. It is about the way, the truth, and the life, and that knowledge refuses to be objectified or controlled. It is a knowledge that does not entertain. It is extremely passionate. It is a knowledge that grounds the knowing event in the triune life as revealed in the incarnation of Jesus. In this story, where the numbers are paralyzing and the logic does not work, we see the finitude of human knowledge. And this story points toward the incarnation that lives. At the end of knowledge stands Jesus. For this text, the end of human knowledge is the beginning of love's knowledge. And that is enough to feed a multitude with much left over. At the end of knowledge stands Jesus. Not that we should discount our rationality that God gave us, but beyond it, beyond our capabilities, there is a God who is infinitely wider and deeper than we could ever comprehend. And so in the face of human trial, when logic does not add up, when the answers are just absent, there exactly stands not an answer, but a person. There exactly stands our truest Savior, who knows our trials and sees our needs and initiates feeding us. He provides in a way only he can. For in our story, conventional methods offer no real solutions to the crowd's needs. Jesus alone knows how to meet those needs. For in a way a child needs a mother, we need Jesus. Not in a way a scientist needs an answer to his question. And while that question is pressing, does it really satisfy the soul? A few weeks back, our amazing soloist, Cara, you may remember, sang an old spiritual called "Give Me Jesus." It was beautiful, her rendition. The lyrics speak of a wonderfully simplistic call for Jesus alone to be given. It says, "In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Dark midnight was my cry, give me Jesus. Oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus, you can have all this world. Just give me Jesus." I personally never get through that song without at least a few tears. And absolutely when she sang it. I think it's because it strikes a chord deep within me that actually knows that Jesus really is everything and more than I could need. Because Jesus is the real solution and the truer answer and the deeper word. And so even though in this lifetime we don't get every answer or solution or quick fix we'd like to see, we get something worlds better. We get the man himself. We get the God himself. The actual man who'd rather be beaten and die for us than go on living his life. We get the man who'd rather forgive people who don't deserve it and heal people who never came back to thank him than go on making an honest living for himself, settling down. We get that man, that God, the man who would rather die for us than be parted from us. That's how much he loves us. And isn't that better than any satisfaction a quick fix or a blanket solution to our problems could offer? Isn't that better than if we had bought the crowd's meal ourselves? Than if we were fed with food alone. At the end of knowledge, at the end of logic, and any answers we could muster, and at the end of all human comprehension and might, stands one man, the man who loves us. And that love can never be moved. It is as unshakable as his voice when he says, "It is I, do not be afraid," when he comes to them upon the water. When the answers come up short, and when we don't have the critical mass to make something happen, when we fail, when we're too scared to even begin, when we're without a shred of hope, when it seems like all we have left to do is despair, like Andrew, we have the one who overcame it all. We have Jesus. And isn't a person much better than an answer anyway? His life, the solution. His blood, the answer. His words, the fulfillment of all our hope. We have the man, and we don't just have him in a metaphorically out there, some kind of abstract way, but we have him in a real spiritual way, because he is actually with us and among us in the breaking of the bread, where two or three are gathered, and he will never leave us. And the thing that really gives me chills is that he actually knows our names. The God over all things, the God who existed as the I Am over and above every inch of the universe, knows the most infinitesimally small fears within our hearts. The aches we have for acceptance, the littlest dreams we still hold close. As one bluegrass song says, "He knows the names of my sorrows. He knows the names of my fears. Why should I let them bother me? For I know that he is near." In all this, we have a God who really knows our names and knows our heart and our pain and our history and is with us. And he stands at the end of our lives. He stands when we fall. And he holds us through every tear. He feeds us when we are weak. He sees that need and fills it to overflowing, so there is much left over. And that's our real soul food. And boy, does it hit the spot. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now I invite you to stand as we choose three more selections for our favorite hymn Sunday from this side. I hear our first request, 157. 157, verse 1. And Sally, yes. 450, verse 1.
Thank you.
from this side? Amazing Grace. Liz, might you know the number of that?
Six forty-nine,
verse 1.
If you don't know your knock-in, you can always find it in the back. That's your learning thing for the day, right? There's an index, so you can find it for the last mark. 649.
ABC. And now it is time for the sharing of joys and concerns. If anyone would like to lift up a prayer request, I'd like to hear them now. Yeah.
I just like to thank the Lord for the return of my grandson from Israel. Mm-hmm. He was there for 2 weeks and we had breakfast with him yesterday. And mm-hmm. He was so full of everything, so excited. It was a wonderful youth group, lacrosse team.
Wonderful. Oh, prayers of thanks for safe returns and a wonderful trip. Absolutely. Any other prayer requests? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely for the attacks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dillers, did you have one? Okay. Any other prayer requests? Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay, absolutely. For your whole family as your mother passing. Absolutely. Prayers of comfort. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The birth of our third grandson.
Wonderful. Oh, for the wonderful, successful birth, Logan. Okay, great. Oh, congratulations. Logan, okay. Any other prayer requests? Yeah. Oh, that's right. The Stauffer's grandchild. Oh, that's wonderful. So many wonderful births. That's great. Oh, congratulations. Where are they? Oh, congratulations. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. Okay. All right. Any other prayer requests? Yeah.
A prayer for my husband and Taylor's father-in-law as he's traveling on a consultancy job and he's overseas in Africa right now, so prayers for safe travels until mm-hmm. his return in August.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
For my sister's friend, Debbie, who had heart transplant.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And for the family, they're made a
dollar. Absolutely.
But I don't believe she's doing well.
Okay. Thank you. Any other prayers? Yeah.
Just for all the people facing fire, flood, heat, all that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's right, me too. I was so happy to see them this morning for the return of Liz and Nate and Deneen. Absolutely. Okay. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Let's come to God in prayer together. Lord of our life, we know you are always with us in every moment of every day. Our everydays are filled with laughter and sadness, joys and sorrows. And so we bring our everydays before you. We pray that you would be with those who are sick, those who are injured, those who are in need of surgery, and especially heart transplants. Pray for those who have cancer and those struggling with mental illness or addiction. We pray your presence would be with them and that you would give them healing touch in body, mind, and spirit, to be made strong in you. We pray that you would be with those who are caretakers, that you would give them care and comfort. We offer that you would comfort those who are in a time of grief, especially family who lost their mother. We pray that you would be with also those who are hungry and in need of justice, that they would be filled. We ask you to bring them provision and teach us how to be your hands and feet and ways to show love to them. Lord, we pray for safe travels, and we thank you for safe returns and wonderful trips. We pray for those suffering from the attacks in Toronto, and we ask your blessing upon that whole situation. Lord, we are thankful so much for successful births and the happiness that comes with them. And Lord, we also pray for those who are still traveling, that you would bring them home safely. And we ask your help also for those dealing with the fires, the floods, and the heat, that you would be with them and take care of them. Lord, we also thank you for the return of Liz and Nate and Deneen. Thank you so much for the blessing that they are to this church. And Lord, we also lift up the names of our friends who are today in the bulletin. We pray that you would be with them as well. We ask that you would be with Tom and Anne, with Elizabeth, with a loved one of the Callahans, with Sharon and Jean, with June and Casey and Debbie and Jean, and the men and women of our armed forces. We also pray for Charles and Jenny, and Charles and Melissa and John. We ask for your provision and that you would bless them and their ministry. Lord, we know that you hear us when we pray. So we ask that now, in this time of silence, you would hear our prayers lifted to you in the quiet of our hearts. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray all of these things in the name of the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now you can also stand for our last time of favorite hymn selections. And so I don't think I got many in the back, so we have three more verses to go. I see a hand. Yes. 14, verse 1. Very next page, verse 1.
Amen.
I see one more request to bring us home? 661, verse 1. 661. Friends, let us go out from this place and give every little bit we have to the feet of Jesus, who will multiply it and give it to the world. And all the while knowing that he really is all that we need. And may the blessing of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Alleluia. Amen.